Sturgeon's Law, number 87. All things are become new.
You're listening to Sturgeon's Law, the podcast that keeps you up to date on the 10% of everything that isn't crud. Check out the show notes at www.sturgeonslaw.com, and you can find the music used in this show at the Podsafe Music Network and magnatune.com. Now here's your host, Random.
Howdy and welcome. My name is Random, and this is my show. Accordingly, as longtime listeners will know, I have been prone to a lot of tweaking due to the fact that I cannot really abide doing the same thing for very long for the most part, and I reserve what little ability I do have in that regard to important things, like staying married. And so here I am, recording a show with no real idea of what window dressing I will put on it this time, or whether indeed I will put any on it at all. To be honest, at this moment, I'm hoping I'll have the energy to just do something different every time. Why not? If indeed I have a purpose in establishing a brand, it's me, not the trappings of Sturgeon's Law, that I wish to establish, so my voice, both literally and as a writer, is my brand, and the rest is great sound and fury and so on and so forth. Having said that, I like music and silly sound clips and so forth, and so I shouldn't doubt you'll be hearing some of each from time to time, not to neglect also promotions for things that I like, being kind of the point of the show. In the near future, I may ask those of you who record things if you'd like to pitch in, but for now, I have an appalling number of items that have piled up to talk about in the month or so that I've been mentally away, and so we will begin after a moment of silence for Gary Gygax, dead March 4th of this year at the age of 70, and whose impact on the lives of myself and many of my listeners, if not profound, is at least substantial. I thought I had all my material lined up for this episode, and then Trent Reznor, mastermind of the ongoing Project Nine Inch Nails, threw it all into chaos by releasing his new four-volume experiment, Ghosts, an entirely instrumental set of 36 tracks conceived and recorded over a brief period, 10 weeks or something like that, I believe. What made this stop the presses was Reznor's decision, as per his prior announcement of abandoning the recorded industry as we know it, highly touted on this show, to sell this work online. Volume 1, 9 tracks, can be downloaded for free, and indeed, in a brilliant stroke, an official upload of it was made to the infamous Pirate Bay BitTorrent site, allowing this very efficient protocol to be used to rapidly acquire these tracks, which is indeed how I got them, and it was wonderful. The entire thing can be had via download for $5 in your choice of format, 320k mp3, lossless FLAC, and so forth, no DRM in sight, as well as some extras, such as a PDF booklet. For $10, you can get it as a 2-CD set. $75 gets you a deluxe edition with a slipcase and a dated DVD with everything in multitrack format for you remixers, and a Blu-ray disc with all sorts of stuff and all that good stuff. There was also a $300 Ultra Deluxe limited edition, but you can't have it, as it's already sold out. And this is something I wanted to point out in particular. There were 2,500 issues of this limited edition, and they're all gone at, I remind you, $300 apiece, for a gross of $750,000, if my arithmetic is correct, and it usually is. I have no idea what the net is off of that, but I will go so far as to suggest it's a whole lot more than he'd have ever seen working through a label. This, my friends, is going to be very difficult for the recording industry to dismiss as a self-defeating waste of money, much as they did with Radiohead. Did I mention that the freely downloadable volume is released under Creative Commons and can specifically be used for non-commercial purposes such as, for example, using on podcasts? Sorry about that. So as I said at the outset, I am resisting planning any trappings in advance for the show, but I wouldn't be at all surprised if you've already been hearing bits of Ghost Volume 1 here and there in this very episode. Let me take a moment out here to address the most obvious objection to Reznor's feat here as a model for musicians generally. There is no question that Nine Inch Nails has a fan base that was built toiling in the RIAA mines. On the other hand, I never noticed that his labels did a spectacular job of promoting him anyway. The fact is that Reznor has always found interesting ways to reach a fan base. Consider, for example, doing music for Quake way back when, something that still resonates with me after all these years. And does that approach remind you of any popular Podsafe musicians named Colton? Industry or no industry, being able to sell 2,500 $300 limited editions is not a position that Reznor reached overnight. Next year is the 20th anniversary of the release of Pretty Hate Machine, believe it or not. Where will Matthew Ebel or Jeff Smith or Black Lab be after 20 years of recording? Hopefully they'll be grossing $1 million too, without having to hand it all over to some pointless middleman. Shifting gears, which we'll be doing a lot of, let me read you this tidbit from the creator of Gunner Krieg Court, a webcomic that I mentioned in episode 76. Quote, "Are you a reader of this comic? Are you a reader of this sentence? Then you can help. We're getting close to the release of the Gunner Krieg Court orientation book now, and getting the word out about it would be a huge help. It's on page 219 of February's Diamond Previews catalog, so if you happen to be in a comic shop anytime soon, all you need to do is get them to check it out. This goes for any book/comic store that uses previews to place orders, near enough all of them, so this isn't limited to the U.S. The book is also available for pre-order through Amazon.com and will soon be up on Amazon.co.uk. There is an ISBN there too, so any store that doesn't use previews should be able to search for it and order some in. The few places that sell comics I was able to visit personally here in Birmingham were pretty eager when I showed them the book in previews. The fact that it's listed as kid-friendly was a big selling point for them, because let's face it, comics aren't exactly for kids anymore." Unquote. And you will find those Amazon links on the website.
Predictionary, the podcast for word lovers. www.predictionary.com. Surprising histories of words you thought you already knew.
Heath Ledger, as I'm sure you all know, passed away some time back, and one of the results of this was leaving Terry Gilliam's movie, The Imaginarium of Dr. Parnassus, a bit in the lurch as Ledger was involved in it. The word of late is that due to the peculiar nature of the film in the first place, and with Terry Gilliam involved, you knew it would be peculiar, Ledger's part will be portrayed in its unusual environments by other actors, Colin Farrell, Jude Law, and Johnny Depp, or so I have read. It's good to think that the film will be able to be completed, and that, in a way, it might become a tip of the hat by these fine actors to one of their peers, who sadly has filmed his last. In other movie news, the Iron Man movie is up to its third trailer now. In case you haven't kept up with them, let me fill you in. The first trailer, previewed oh so long ago at San Diego Comic-Con, then aired well all over the place. Second trailer made its debut during the Super Bowl, and now during an episode of Lost, a third trailer has come along. Being the wonderful person that I am, I have dug up YouTube links for all three. You'll find them on the website. This movie, I hope it doesn't break my heart. From the inspired quirkiness of Robert Downey to the rock and roll, fast cars, and faster jet sensibilities, it sure looks like they found all the exact right points to hit. But of course, we all know how trailers are. Sometimes you see every good moment in the film by the time the trailers end. I sincerely hope this is not one of those times. I like what I've seen a whole lot, and I'm going to take a positive attitude into the theater with me. Hopefully we'll all have a good time of it when it comes out on the 2nd of May. Speaking of movie trailers, or at least movie teaser trailers, there's one out now for Coraline. Coraline? Not sure. The movie based on the Neil Gaiman book. Coraline won Gaiman a Hugo, a Nebula, and a Stoker, so I might argue that the stakes are high on getting this film right. It will, at any rate, be appropriately peculiar. Coraline is a stop-motion animation, as you might expect from the director of The Nightmare Before Christmas and James and the Giant Peach, which is to say, Henry Selick. It is also being shot for digital 3D, and it's quite the all-star voice cast, and is slated for release in January of next year. But as I say, you can see the teaser now, and of course, I've handily linked a YouTube copy of it for you. Sadly, I've never read Coraline, so I have nothing further to say about this, but perhaps a listener or two will share some thoughts. Staying on the topic of Neil Gaiman, he's got a free book. Well, actually, he's got two free books, sort of, and you'll have to decide for yourself which is the more exciting presentation, although I know my opinion. One is his popular novel American Gods, available for web viewing via the HarperCollins site for the month of March, as I understand it. Now this is swell, I guess, but it's a really thick novel, and reading it entirely via this flash thingy or whatever, I'm not so sure. On the other hand, you could also enjoy Neil Gaiman himself reading his short story, A Study in Emerald, a mashup of sorts between Sherlock Holmes and the Lovecraft Cthulhu mythos, as well as acquiring it via PDF in a delightful period news sheet format, neither of which require you to sit at someone's website and fiddle with their viewer. As I say, I know my opinion, and I already have the audio of the latter on my MP3 player. I should give credit where credit is due, and note that HarperCollins is also who's released the audio reading, so good on them for that. One last thing, about which I have no clever segue, and that's NBC's decision to start distributing shows via peer-to-peer file sharing. I mean, you know, on purpose. They've cut a deal with Pando Networks to offer high-res downloads of its NBC Direct content. Do I expect the resulting downloads to be a horrific DRM mishmash that plays only on some systems? Well, yes, that's entirely what I expect. But a step in the right direction is, at the end of the day, a step in the right direction, and a step towards content on demand is a good thing. Personally, I would sooner watch downloaded content and watch every single ad, or at least ignore them while they're playing, than have to pay some outrageous monthly price for cable channels I'll never look at least as long as I can watch that content on a TV at appropriate resolution without a huge hassle. We've got a ways to go yet, but there are some promising signs. I've been watching Dexter, the Showtime show, streaming from Netflix, as well as Ghost in the Shell Standalone Complex, and I'm finding that service swell, but of course it still requires Windows and indeed Internet Explorer. But a step is a step is a step. So the mailbag then. Listener Gail wrote in and said, "Random. It's been too long since I heard from Stephen Brust. I'm glad to know what he's been up to. Thanks for the link and the heads up, Gail." You're welcome, Gail. Show regular Doug Rapson had this to say about my beloved Elite Beat Agents.
"Hey, Random, it's Doug, and why did I have a sudden urge to pick up the shoe phone and call you after the most recent episode of Sturgeon's Law? I don't know. Anyway, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. I just picked up Dance Dance Revolution, but it's kind of like that. No, Elite Beat Agents for the Nintendo DS. Holy crap, it's awesome. Everybody in my circle of friends, in our circle of friends online, has been talking and talking this game up, and I finally found a pre-owned copy when I was cruising through the mall over the weekend, and it is awesome. It is awesome, awesome, awesome. I can't recall whether or not you were one of the ones who was going on and on about. If you were, you were right. If you weren't, well, let me go on about it, because, you know, you got to go out and get it. It's great. It's quirky. It's funny. And, I don't know, it's just cool. It's just, it's not your average ordinary game. It's not your point and click and shoot and all this kind of stuff. It's just wacky. So I think I've gone on long enough. Love the show. Talk to you later. Bye."
I don't mean to say I told you so, but, well, anyway. Chris Daly of Too Many Shows to Name takes me to task.
"Hey, Random. This is Chris Daly with Riding with the Window Down et al. And two comments. One, I just want to say that in order to get comments to your show, you need to be giving comments on other shows. So I'm going to start the ball rolling and say, here's my comment. Now go leave one for me at Riding with the Window Down. But onto one of the subjects you talked about in your last show, you were talking about, you know, do we need the mainstream television? Do we need the mainstream content? Well, I have a house in Houston, and I recently got an apartment in San Marcos about 3 hours away because I'm doing some other business ventures there, and I haven't bothered to hook up satellite or cable or anything, not even rabbit ears, in the new apartment because I bring my laptop loaded down with content, and we'll plug it into the TV or download something off iTunes or whatever, BitTorrent, wherever, and I've got more than enough stuff to watch. And it's stuff I want to watch. It's stuff I want to watch when I want to watch it. So, no, I don't think we need mainstream media. And I don't think I've missed it at all. Like you, my TiVo just kind of, you know, showed how useless it was during the strike, as it really had nothing to record, nothing of interest to. So I'm with you, brother. I think if anything, it opened the door for new media. And you're right, we haven't jumped in it yet, but we are easing our way in that door. And by the way, Lou's sitting beside me on my drive. I'm driving to San Marcos right now, and he says, hey." Talk to you later, man. Keep it real.
Right you are, Chris. Although, and I recognize how hypocritical this will sound, I haven't heard of Riding with a Window Down to comment on since you said this, have I? I do occasionally respond to your posts on its blog, but you're right. I haven't called. Mea maxima culpa. If you want to call this show, you can call my Grand Central number, 405-3344-311. That's 405-3344-311. Or failing that, email me, sturgeonslaw@gmail.com. I thought I might play a track off of Ghosts for this episode's PodSafe music, but I don't know. It's not quite that sort of music. Much better suited to background listening, I think. So instead, I have the urge to play you The Way I Am by Ingrid Michaelson off the PodSafe Music Network, and so I will do so right now.
Way to find, manage, and share both audio and video podcasts.
Come on! What's up? Get up!
PodcastReady.com.
Well, that was interesting, wasn't it? At least I hope it was. Thanks for bearing with me as I figure out just how random you'll let random be, and truly I shall try to keep things loose enough that I don't seize up on getting you something to listen to. Again. Until the next time I do, check the website at www.sturgeonslaw.com, and otherwise, cheers and good night.
I've got to stop that mechanical nightmare.
Conan, what is best in life?
This is a different thing. It's spontaneous, and it's called wit.